The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back.
That's great.
Main Street to Wall Street.
America back. And that's why we do shows like this one. Hi, I'm coming to you from the heart of the state of independence, the birthplace of American liberty, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm your Thursday host of the National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, the Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio and WBN 324 Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. I am Peter Serafie.
A man, a legend,
with a great beard.
With the greatest beard in radio.
This guy is the sweetest, nicest, most gentlest person you've ever met in your life.
The man's really insightful and pretty freaking smart.
With wit, sharp like safety scissors.
I would walk over hot coals for this guy.
Man with a golden voice behind the microphone.
He's got a big, fat, juicy, beautiful brain.
The Nostradamus of political prognostication. Your host, Peter Serafine.
Free speech is not free. Support this free speech network. Donate if you can. Buy merchandise from their website. Support the sponsors. And, hey, call around to your local talk radio stations and see if they'd like some free programming from RBN. I've done that recently. I emailed just about every talk radio station here in my home state of Pennsylvania. I emailed them some of the stats and said, hey, how about a talk radio host from Pennsylvania that you can pick up for free? And absolutely none of them have replied. I'm disappointed. But whatever. In the second hour tonight, we've got a guest. His name is Lance Hilsinger. He's the author of Build a Better Bridge. And he's a retired Child Protective Services or Children and Youth Services social worker. And yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that conversation. The book was interesting. I got a lot of new perspective on the welfare and child protective process, new perspective about the environment around it all, but he didn't really change my opinions on how any of it could be fixed. So it should be fun to have that talk with him. But first, I want to talk about government's role in business and what government is doing in business and what they should be doing with business and how those two things compare and contrast. But this is a live call-in show, so let me give you the number. It's 512-248-8252. We're toll-free at 800-313-9443. So, government's role in business. What is that? What do we think it is? Well, first, according to the Declaration of Independence, the government's first role is to protect our rights. Government's role in business, well, that's all they should be there for. They should be there to protect our rights. So ideally, government's only role in business is to protect you and I, the citizen customer. And how would they do that? Well, they would do that with laws that would allow us to sue a company, for example, that falls short of honoring their promises and or guarantees. Like, you need to be able to sue them if they lie to you, right? They promise that their product is going to do X. You buy the product does not do X. There needs to be repercussions for that. So that's that. And fraudulent claims and advertising and stuff like that, that's honestly, that really should be the only role of government as far as business goes, is what I see. That's as far as I can tell. And if you read the documents of our founding fathers, that's probably the only role that they would want to see government play in business as well. What does government really do? our government today, well, they pick the winners and losers of the world, of the business world. They, through their selective regulations and selective subsidies, they can boost up one business while crushing another. They stifle business growth and business ideas through taxes and regulations and licensing requirements and silly things like that. And then not to mention the COVID-19 shutdowns. Like, that was crazy. We, the people, the business owners, the entrepreneurs of this country, were shut down by government for no real reason. Shut down over a virus that everybody knew from day one had a 99% survivability rate. But yet, thousands, tens of thousands of businesses were shut down to never come back because they were shut down for no legitimate reason without planning. Sad. Regulations that, well, they don't really make sense. Why do we need as many regulations around business as we do? Why does it cost so much money to start a new business in this country? The cost of opening a new business, half of that is regulatory compliance costs for regulations that don't pertain to government's number one primary role of business, which is protecting you and I, the citizen consumer. And the taxes and regulations, I mean, the idea, this is funny. The idea that businesses, business owners, business management companies have to levy and collect tax on behalf of government and are not compensated in any way for doing it is a burden on business. You think about that, just sales tax that goes to your city, county, and state, not all states, but these business owners have to know what is or is not taxable, how much of that money goes to which level of government. I'm sure they have to buy computer software to figure it out, hire accountants to manage it, but yet they're not compensated for playing the role of tax collector. That stifles business, don't you think? I sure do. What other role does government play in business today? Pardon me. What about the Small Business Administration? Right? Grants and loans from the Small Business Administration. Money that is either given or loaned from our government, our federal government, to somebody who wants to start a small business. Now, in theory, that sounds like a good idea. But from 2006 to 2015, that 9-year span, 20% of the Small Business Administration loans were never paid back. So 20% of the money, your money, my money, taxpayer money, that was handed to people that were wanting to start businesses wasn't paid back. Well, that's problematic. I mean, if a bank had that failure rate, they wouldn't be a bank for very long. Because a bank makes decisions in their own best interest as far as running a business. Does our federal government do that when they're giving out these small business grants and loans? Or does our federal government look at the fact that, oh, look, it's a Latino or Latina woman trying to start a business? Well, let's lower the bar because we need more Latina women business owners. Or do they think, oh, look, it's here's another old white guy trying to start a business? Should probably raise the bar for him. See, the problem is transparency there. Do we know if our federal government is using our money that they're giving out in these loans and grants in a truly fair and equal way, or are they using it to push some social agenda? I'm pretty sure we all know the answer to that. Our government doesn't spend a dime unless it somehow fits into some social agenda somewhere. At least that's what it feels like nowadays. What other roles do we have going on here? How, other than protecting you and I, the citizens, what else is our federal government doing in the business world? Well, we also have nonprofits. Nonprofit organizations are part of the business world, right? Well, I got a bunch about them. So let's take a little public service announcement break. Be back in 30 seconds.
I have an idea to fix almost all of the problems with our federal government. Okay, it's not my idea. It's a bill sitting in the House that will probably never get a vote. H.R. 46, the One Bill, One Topic Transparency Act. If every bill in the House could only deal with one subject, then Congress couldn't add unrelated amendments. Pork and earmark would become nearly impossible. Every bill would have to stand on its own merits. No more bad laws tacked onto spending bills. Corruption would become more difficult. Waste would become more obvious. We would get the transparency from Congress that we deserve. H.R. 46, One Bill, One Subject Transparency Act, would be the greatest legislative win for we the people since the U.S. Constitution. Read H.R. 46 and sign a petition of support at liberty-lighthouse.com/H.R. 46.
Hey, and I forgot to start out the show. Thanks for allowing me to take vacation last week. It was a wonderful vacation, and a little announcement that's come out of that is, well, those Liberty Minutes that many of you all love so very much, I was making those every day. Spending at least an hour every day working. I'm getting up early to record them before going and working my regular full-time job. And I had actually planned on completely stopping the Liberty Minute. I wasn't going to do it at all anymore. But such outcry from social media followers and listeners of this and other networks, people saying that they love the Liberty Minute, probably more than they love me as a talk show host. So I've decided to go to a once-a-week version of the Liberty Minute, just so you know. But that should make me a happier host, a better-prepared host, a better-researched host. See, before I started the Liberty Minute, I spent that time in the morning before I went to work doing the research for my show. Once I started doing the Liberty Minute, well, my research suffered. And I wasn't as well prepared to be live on air. At least that's how I felt. So now, hopefully, we'll get the best of both worlds. You'll get one Liberty Minute a week, and I'll be able to produce a well-researched show. That's the thought process, anyway. That's how we're going to presume that it's go on. And let's see here. We stopped with nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations are a part of the the economy. They're part of business. There's a tremendous amount of money that flows through nonprofit organizations. As a matter of fact, there are about 1,400 nonprofits or organizations that spend roughly $2 trillion a year. 1,400 nonprofits spending $2 trillion a year. That sounds great, right? Nonprofits, most of them are charities. Do good things in the world, good things for society. That's all good, right? Did you know that 80% of the money that goes into a nonprofit organization comes from you and I, the taxpayers? So 1,400 nonprofits spending $2 trillion a year, and 80% of the money that went in came from you and I. That means $1.6 trillion dollars that goes into nonprofit organizations came from you through the government, your taxes. How do you feel about that? See, that, quite honestly, that pisses me off. If a nonprofit organization is worth a darn, shouldn't they be able to survive by themselves? Shouldn't they be able to raise their own money? If they're a legit nonprofit that's run well and a legitimate cause and all of those kinds of things, wouldn't you be happy and willing to donate to them? Why do they need tax money? That's always bothered me. Hey, but we got our first caller from the night. Quince in Florida on line one. Welcome to National Intel Report. Quince, how you doing tonight?
Superb. Yourself?
Fantastic.
This is a great subject, and it's one that really gets me because as a small businessman, I'm a retired small businessman, but it became more and more apparent to me that a lot of the competition out there, my competition and other small businessmen's competition, actually weren't businesses at all. They were properties that were being managed and controlled by some government entity like the CIA.
Right.
There's a great book by Wayne Mattson. It's an encyclopedic book that lists a very small portion of the businesses and corporations that are owned by the CIA. Most people have no clue. Probably the listeners of RBN have a clue, but I mean most of the unwashed masses have no clue.
Yeah, well, there's not only that, but there's just the control, as far as I'm concerned. You think about totalitarian government, right? Does a government really have to own all of the businesses of a nation before that nation becomes a totalitarian or even fascist regime? See, I don't think the government has to own them.
I think this thing we are calling government is very far removed from the original concept and instead is an entity that is completely separate from that concept and is wholly, entirely functioning at the behest of a very elite group that are orchestrating an agenda. And I think everybody listening already knows that. But they got to understand that there's some huge corporation places you do business with every day that aren't real businesses. They don't need your money to stay functioning. They don't need to make a living.
Right.
And it's all secret. Not even the managers of these businesses know what's going on. They're just given orders from above somewhere. Here, do this or get fired.
Yeah, we've all had jobs like that. To my question about like what does government have to own? Like if you think about, let's see a government if they have wrestled complete control of, let's say, the energy sector. They now control the price of gas and natural gas and gasoline and heating oil and basically all energy on the planet or in the country. Well. Because of the nature of the energy sector having a direct impact on every other sector of the economy, well, that one sector of the economy can control all the others. I don't think it's necessary for the government to own all business. They just need to control one or two select industries in order to control everything. Your thoughts on that?
I've been telling and commenting on various YouTube channels that I go to, and you know, there's a lot of groups and a lot of people out there that are really waking up. Professional people, realtors, you know, financial people that are waking up and realizing, hey, this has no semblance of business. This is something completely different. We are in something, and I comment, we are in an economic war. Read Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Everything that's been done to third world nations, to put them under the auspices of the IMF, is now being done to the United States, but with a much different and onerous agenda. Same tactics, right. Though. Same tactics.
Yeah, the color revolution stuff. It's all. I mean, it's being done here, and anybody who has done 5 minutes of research can see that it's being done here. I think the average person can see that. I think where we on the far right, we extremists, I think where we lose the support or the following of those more moderate John Q. Public folks is when we start trying to explain a why would the government do this. Because for one, we've got a lot of different reasons, a lot of different whys, lots of different conspiracy theories or whatever, factual reasons, it doesn't matter. The point is, we try to explain why to John Q. Public, and John Q. Public says, well, you're a conspiracy nut job, and stops listening. If we stop trying to focus on the why and just saying, here's what they're doing, here's all the evidence of what they're doing, here's the historical data, here's all of the other places they've done it, the why doesn't really matter, does it? They're doing it. They shouldn't be doing it. We need to stop them from doing that. Well, the why doesn't matter. And if the why is what makes us lose followers and lose listeners and lose support, then maybe we should stop harping on the why as much. If they ask, then certainly tell them. But that's my own personal thought.
Well, I agree. It's encouraging to me to go to YouTube, which is generally a very controlled format. But if we go there and you look at different channels, you look at George Gammon, you look at Mike Maloney's channel, Peter Schiff, you look at Michael Bordenero, you look at I, allegedly Dan, all these people, they're all saying it, that something is really wrong here.
Yeah.
Something is really wrong, and they're coming from a professional, non-conspiratorial perspective. They're waking up, and they're saying it. This isn't right. Something is very wrong here. And so it's encouraging for me to see these people waking up. And, of course, I try to throw a few leads their way, like, hey, go listen to RBN, look at the website. Start doing some more research, and you understand how far back the mechanics of this whole thing really goes and how long these people have been planning this.
Right. And that's the other thing. I don't even know that it's, quote-unquote, planned. It's nature. It's the nature of government. And the government is a living thing, and living things want to get bigger and stronger and have more money and more power. Do you think that 100 years ago Woodrow Wilson envisioned complete government takeover of everything when he set the ball in motion?
I think he was well selected for his role. He was the perfect puppet for that job. They picked him out because they knew exactly who he was and what his buttons were. Easy pickings.
Well, he was definitely the perfect guy for the job. But my question was, I don't think anybody plays that long of a long game. I think it's just human nature. And, it keeps growing, and it's going to keep growing until something and stops it from growing. Hey, we're coming right up to the break here, Quince. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank you. It's a great show. I'm enjoying listening to it.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And Sarah on line three, we're going to hold you over until after the break. Because like I said, we're coming up to break. And I don't want to have to cut you short. I hate that. But when we come back from the break, we'll get to Sarah's phone call. I want to talk about how our government was supposed to be landless, and now it's not. And then move on to some complete and utter failures of government business. Some wonderful, hilarious examples to go along with. Be back in about 3 minutes.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right. We're back. Let's see here. What do we got? Sarah in Oregon. Sarah, welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi.
What's up?
Not much. You guys have a little bit of a problem with your Democrat candidate, John Fetterman. He's stumbling over his words a lot. And
I watched that live, too. It was painful.
Yeah, it was really painful.
I saw a meme this morning I thought it was funny. I think it was from the Babylon Bee. It said, Thursday morning, and John Fetterman interrupted breakfast to answer the third question from Tuesday's debate.
Yeah, it's hard and painful, but you guys are going to have to buckle up. So
I do my part.
Yeah, do your part and vote for the other guy, even though he's a rhino.
Yeah, I don't really like that other guy either, but, you know.
But you got to vote for somebody.
All right. Got to vote for somebody. That's right. Thanks, Sarah. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, so coming up at the top of the hour, we got Lance Hilsinger, author of Building a Better Bridge, But right now we're talking about government involvement in business. And one of the things I want to bring up is, well, the landless government that we were supposed to have. Our federal government was restricted to 10 miles square, right? 10 miles that was given up by surrounding states. Our federal government was not supposed to own land. And then Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt comes in and decides to start the National Park Service. Right? Okay. Well, now federal government owns, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of acres in like 28 states or 38 states or whatever it is, a bunch. So it's not a landless government anymore. And you might think, well, what does that have to do with business? Well, for one, they're taking that land away from potential business. And for two, wow, couple that with the idea of, was it Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? See, after the housing crisis of 2008, 90% of all real estate loans are now government-backed. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, I got more to talk about that. But first, we got Tom in Florida on line one. Tom, what do you got for us tonight?
Yes, good day, sir. Yeah, here's what I got on for you. First off, you say the word Latino women. It should be Hispanic women. Let's get that. I want to get that straight, but that's minor. Here's what I want to talk about. You were saying something earlier, and here in South Florida, even in the whole, throughout the whole United States, these illegal aliens were coming here, and even the ones that were sponsored, like the Cubans, they're getting 1% business loans from the federal government up to $200,000. Did you know that?
No, that's great. Illegal,
what's going on?
Illegal aliens are getting 1% business loan. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, I'm going to explain what's going on. Back in the 60s, the late 60s, the Cubans that came to South Florida because of a communist oppression,
right.
Yes, they got 1% business loans. They were, if you remember the demographic of South Florida in the 60s, it was 95, almost 92% white Anglo-American. There was a lot of Afro-Americans, of course. I say it's close to 90. And then you hardly had any Hispanics here. When Castro fell, they came here, and they weren't even thinking they were going to stay here long. They thought they were going to go back, but they didn't. Because the federal government at that time, under Lyndon Baines Johnson, okay, they were giving out loans at 1% to start buy up these businesses. So what does the white people do? They take the money and they run, okay, because these people are buying out these businesses, so they head north of Fort Pierce or whatever. So they left. They basically gave up the whole southern part of south of Dade County, Broward County a little bit, and they fleed because the government was basically paying these people money to buy out these you can call them gringos, whatever you want to call them, and they fled north. And they're doing the same thing now with the illegal aliens. The illegal aliens in California are getting money. Where are they getting the money, Peter? Because they're buying up businesses. They have taco trucks everywhere. Where are they getting all this money to start up these buy these trucks, these lawn equipment? The federal government is giving them the money. Not you know, they're not just coming here working coming up with $100,000 here in a year or 2 years' time. That's federally government subsidized. But you made a great point. Here in South Florida, I just want you to realize something. Can you believe that the four major unions in the South Florida area, who are their endorsement for governor of the state of Florida?
You said union, so I'm going to guess the Democrat.
No, that's the ironic part about it. No, it is actually Ron DeSantis. They're actually, yes, I know it's hard to believe, the police and the firefighters in South Florida, up to West Palm, are endorsing Ron DeSantis for governor. And one of the reasons is, I think, they were proposing in some of these areas, like in Palm Beach, all the way down to Dade, to bring in firefighters who would be like free, like they used to do back in the 1900s. They didn't pay firemen to work. They were actually volunteers, correct?
Yeah, well, my fire companies in my town are all volunteer fire companies.
Right. Well, these firefighters are making massive amounts of money. I believe every firefighter here in South Florida makes by the time they have 15 years in their job, they're millionaires. Basically,
wow.
Their pensions are outrageous, and that's why. Because the Santos, I believe, said something about saving on to the pension. He wasn't going to touch the pension, and he's going to make sure that no, like as you well know, they're kicking. He's getting. You don't see none of the illegal aliens at these Lowe's and these Home Depots anymore. I've been noticing that for the last 2 months. Usually, you'd see like 100 of them or 50 of them, and they'll try to actually beg you to put in the work. Well, I noticed I've been going by there for favor. Right. Well, I don't see that no more. I believe DeSantis has got the word out that if they catch you, immigration and customs, they're going to arrest you and they're going to ship you up to Martha's Vineyard.
Good.
So I think that he cleaned out the state of Florida pretty good. I think DeSantis, they sent a strong signal to what's happening. And I really was shocked to find out, because I have a couple of buddies that are paramedics and firefighters, and they both told me, no, they're supporting and their whole union, the president, all of them, all the unions up to Palm Beach are supporting Ron DeSantis. So I thought that was very interesting. So that was kind of a weird thing. But now going back to these small business loans, when these people come here, and they don't have to be even from Latin America. They can from Afghanistan. They can come from wherever they come from, Pakistan. They want the same ball of wax. They want free subsidies. They want this. They want that. Free phones. We're paying astronomically for this, but us as the majority, supposedly still the white Anglo-Caucasians, we're getting basically our pants pulled down.
Right, we are.
We're getting our pants pulled down.
Those,
our ankles.
Those that are taxpayers.
Yes, correct.
Hey Tom, and where in Florida are you?
Right now, I'm in South Florida. I'm in right between. I live actually close to Miami Springs.
Okay. Just wondered. I lived in Florida for a long time. I was wondering if it was anywhere near one of the places I had lived.
Where are you from? Where at?
I moved started out in Okeechobee, and then was in West Palm Beach for a while, and then Indian Harbor.
Royal Palm Beach. Yes, Royal Palm Beach. I got a lot of friends there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Royal Palm Beach, you know, that area is still okay. You know, that's not so bad. But here now, Peter, we got such a problem now because all these Haitians are pouring in here. All these El Salvadorians are pouring in here. And, of course, you got the – and believe it or not, people don't notice, but a lot of the Cuban Americans, they're moving out of here. They're heading – believe it or not, there's a big community in Tennessee. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't. That's great. It's funny. Like, the Democrat Party is clearly losing their stronghold grip on people of color that they think that they have. They've forgotten that most of the Hispanic population is, you know, devout, hardworking. They don't want all this free crap. And the ones that came here legally certainly don't want an open border.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. I can tell you, you know, a lot of, believe it or not, Peter, in South Florida here, I've told Michael Rivero show this, a lot of these Cubans are wonderful, hardworking, and they love this. And I'll tell you what, they love the gun rights more than I think most people, because they lost one country and they don't want to lose another one.
Right.
And that's why I have not big respect for a lot of them, because they're very, I don't know, I'm not going to use the word redneck. I guess that's how a lot of them act.
Yeah.
As Miami Springs area, a lot of Cubans there are so conservative, it's unbelievable. And like I said, it's, you know, they're not happy with the direction of this country. I'll put it that way. But when you're given a group of people, I don't care where they come from, and you're giving them a handout like that, and our fathers never had nothing like that. When my family migrated here, they never got food stamps. They never got welfare. They never had Section 8 housing. They never had all this nonsense. But the magnet's got to be demagnetized, because we're giving these people a magnet. We'll show up at our doorstep and just take us over, devour us. And yep. Mike, Peter, I just want you to know one more thing. I told Mike over here, I want to let you know, and I want your audience. Here in South Florida, we don't have one white male or female on the Miami-Dade County Commission. Not one. Zero. Zilch. Broward County's still like 60-40, but the Caucasians still have a little power up in Broward. But down here, forget it. And this is all by design. This is all by design. However, now the ones that are here, like I said, they're wanting to migrate because they want to get out of here because they see all the crime and everything that's going on here. I mean, you know, we're hearing about a lot of cities up north that have crime, but let me tell you, South here in Dade County, we have a lot of crime too.
Hey, crime
carjacking.
It doesn't matter, you know, which way you vote. You start seeing your friends and family become victimized, and that'll change your opinion about something real quick.
Yes, sir. One more thing, Peter. What did you think about the Fetterman-Oz debate? Because that guy looks like a skunk ape, and I tell you, that was the most amazing. I didn't know what to think of that, and he's caught in a lie with fracking, and he looked like a deer in the headlights. It was unbelievable.
I felt really bad for him at a couple of times, and that particular time in particular, specifically when they caught him in the lie about fracking, you could clearly see his brain working, but he was not able to form the words, and I felt bad for the guy. But I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't care your politics. This guy is not fit for office right now. It's not about his policy. Which all of his policies suck, but that's not my point. If he can't go through a one-hour debate without, you know, freezing up and not being able to answer questions in a way that you can understand, without having ginormous closed caption screens up for him to be able to read the words because he's having difficulty processing them auditorily, well, then how in the hell is that going to work in the Senate? Are they going to put up
a
closed caption screen on the Senate floor so he can hear the debate?
Well, I don't know if Peter, what's your take? Who's winning that? I hope you're going to tell me Oz is going to win in Pennsylvania, but I'd be scary if that guy Fetterman won. I mean, it would
be
scary. I think
Oz's got a lot better chance now that debate happened. It was polling's, you know, had it half and half, but I think that debate was disastrous enough that it really helped Oz. We'll find out in the next day or two. I'm sure some new poll numbers will come out.
Great. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for taking my call. And like I said, we got to hope for the best, be prepared for the worst. And like John Adams said, with the gun of this new nation, you're the citizen. Without the gun, you'll become the subject. All you got to do is look around Central America. That's all I got basically to say. And I love what you're saying about Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. Teddy was the man. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So Teddy was the man, Teddy, that created the national park system and greatly expanded the land ownings of our federal government. And then you got Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, government-backed loans that are now 90% of all mortgages. Well, that means you take those things and you combine them together. That means that government now has a controlling interest or just outright ownership in over 30% of the land mass of this country. The same government that was specifically restricted to a 10-mile square in Washington, D.C. by the Constitution. Now, what happens when government gets involved with real estate markets? Well, you get 2008. See, government decided, well, our loaning processes, you know, not enough people of color, not enough poor people, not enough whatever people, I don't know, whatever special group that government wanted to prop up. Well, they didn't own enough houses. So we've got to make giving loans to mortgages easier. And then, of course, crashed the market because they were giving bad loans to people that couldn't afford them. Created that initial bubble. All the houses got really expensive. Couple of people got really rich, and then they crashed. Government involvement in the real estate market. That sounds good. Hey, next we're going to talk about Amtrak, because I think that's funny, but first this.
At Romika Designs, we're more than just a laser engraving and specialty design company. Much more. I'm Ron Phillips, co-owner of Romika Designs, and we're honored to work with our affiliates like Liberty Lighthouse to bring you professional laser engraving and customization. Great for one-of-a-kind gifts, home decor, business and specialty items, or personalized and logo designs created just for you or your company. Allow Romika Designs and Liberty Lighthouse to become your go-to gift and specialty project partner. Romika Designs can help make your ideas a reality. We're ready to help you design and create that special gift for any occasion or engrave your personal or business logo on just about any product. All you have to do is simply email us with your ideas. We specialize in custom design, and we'd be honored to have the opportunity to discuss it with you. Visit us on the web at romikadesigns.com and use promo code Lighthouse during checkout to support Liberty Lighthouse with Peter Serafine.
Yeah, please do check out Romika Designs. A friend of mine, Ron, runs that company. Him and his family own it, and they do some really cool laser engraving stuff on just about anything you want. But now let's talk about Amtrak for a second. And more specifically, let's talk about the food service side of Amtrak. Now, we've all heard the idea, like, you know, Joe Biden's been in government his entire adult life. He's never had a job outside of government, or, you know, politician X, any of them. They've never worked in the private sector. Couldn't run a lemonade stand. Well, our government can't run a hamburger stand. Have you ever seen the headline? The Amtrak, the government-controlled personnel mover train system, has lost $83 million on hamburgers. See, they sell the hamburger for $9.50, but it costs them $16 to make. Now, if you can't make a profit selling food on a train, a captive audience that can't go anywhere else, a captive audience that may very well be on that train for 10, 12, 16 hours, and you can't make a profit selling hamburgers. Well, that's the people I want in charge of my business, right? That makes a lot of sense. Lost $800 million on hamburgers to a captive audience. Yeah, let's get them involved in everything. What about in the same kind of wheelhouse? What about the high-speed light rail system of California? We all know that one, right? So 14 years ago, California voters approved $40 billion to build a high-speed rail. Okay. California voters approve it. It's the way to go. 14 years ago. Most recent estimates are that this $40 billion high-speed rail system is actually going to cost $105 billion. But again, I'm more stuck on the 14 years ago. Wow. I don't know about you, but that sounds efficient and effective to me. Crazy. Let's give them more businesses to mess with, right? Well, how about education? That sounds like a brilliant idea. Let's get government involved, the federal government. Let's get them involved in education from before school, like Head Start, all the way up through student loans. Let's get them to do that. That sounds like a brilliant idea. It'll be so much easier with just the government. Okay, so since that's happened, the cost of college has gone up 1,200% since the creation of the Department of Education, when inflation around us has only been 230-ish%. So the cost of an education has gone up 6 times faster than everything else since the government got involved. What about healthcare? I didn't get the exact numbers for the healthcare industry, but I bet that it'd be awful close to those same numbers in the healthcare industry as they would find in the education industry. Because the government got involved, the government started regulating insurance and regulating doctors and regulating hospitals and mandating this, and costs went up. Bureaucratic levels are added. Regulations, and then subsidies. Hey, let's make a government healthcare system. Let's do Medicare and Medicaid. So Medicare and Medicaid was originally designed to help the old, retired, poor people, and then the disabled people. It was never supposed to be for everybody. It was only supposed to be there as an option for the most vulnerable members of our society. But that's the foot in the door for our government, right? They get involved in any business. Whatever that first foray is, it's just the foot in the door. Now, when you turn 65, unless you're filthy, stinking rich, well, you have to sign up for Medicare. It's really your only choice. So right when people need the most medical care at the end of their life is when they rely on government for that health care the most. Well, that sounds silly. I would say that the education and healthcare systems are both failures. Two of the most highly regulated industries in the world, or in our country. And they're both failures. The two things that our government, federal government, is most involved in are failures. Let's get them involved in more businesses. What about subsidies? The federal government subsidizing specific industries. How can that be a bad thing? Just giving money to industry. That can't be bad ever, right? Really? What about the sugar industry? The sugar industry has been heavily subsidized for a very long time. And now, sugar is in everything. Everything. There's like 45 different words used on ingredients labels for sugar. Sugar, which has really no nutritional value to you and I, but, well, sugar's a preservative. Sugar's a flavor enhancer. Sugar makes things brown easier. Sugar, well, it's delicious. So let's just put it in everything. Unless you're buying like organic meat, if you go to the grocery store and buy a steak, I bet there's sugar in it. I bet they put sugar in that, you know, contains less than 10% solution. That's sugar. I almost guarantee it because it'll make it brown more evenly. And well, they put it in all the processed foods and industry. So the sugar industry being highly subsidized expanded the sugar industry into absolutely everything we eat and drink all around our country, making us the fattest people on the planet, causing diabetes and heart problems and all the medical problems that go along with it, and I personally think half of the psychological problems that go along with it, all because government subsidized the sugar industry instead of letting the free market do it. Housing, already talked about that. Government wanted to get involved in the housing market, so they crashed the entire system and then basically took it over in 2008. Oil and energy, highly subsidized industries. What's gas price right now? Solar, we all remember Solyndra, right? See, government starts giving money away and all of a sudden corruption shows up. Enron, Solyndra, they're the only two I can think of off the top of my head. And then back to the education loans and grants and scholarships and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See, I'm of the belief that our federal government should not be able to do anything that does not apply to all citizens equally. I don't think they should be ever allowed to regulate one industry in a way that they don't regulate others. I don't think they should be allowed to give money to industry that they don't give to others. I don't think that they should be allowed to do student loans at all, because that whole process is subjective. Why is our federal government getting involved? See, our federal government, we all know, was supposed to be restricted to the 30 or so powers listed in the U.S. Constitution. Was not supposed to have the power to directly tax you and I, because with the power of taxation comes the potential of tyranny. They were not supposed to own land, because with ownership of land comes power and the possibility of tyranny. And now our government has controlling interest in over 30% of the landmass of our country. But they did it for good reasons, right? At least that's what they told us. That's what they've been telling us for 100 years. This is for your best interest. We do this for you. Hey, it's break time. We'll be back in 3 minutes. When we come back, we got Lance Hilsinger, author and 34-year veteran retiree from Children Checkers. Be back in 3 minutes, my friends. Take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.